Rachel Brown is coming up next. Get excited. Because Rachel hails from Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. Rachel's been living in Juneau for 5 years. One of those was spent traveling and working. I have here working her fella, but I think she was traveling and working with her fella. I'm not really sure. Traveling and working her fella with him in South America and Eastern Europe. Rachel's favorite things include playing outside and stuff that is winged or sparkly. She's been told that she's not what one would describe as a good storyteller. Too many off-topic tangents and an inclination towards being way too loud. However, she is shameless about her ability to enjoy attention. So please, please focus on Rachel. She thanks you. And here is her best shot at sharing a story.
Thanks, everybody. So I had a really wonderful time thinking about this theme and what kind of story I wanted to tell. And I spent a lot of time fixating on one with a theme outdated, and it came up a couple weeks ago when I was meeting with a teenager. He's about 20 now, actually, and I've known him for the last 4 or 5 years as I've been working as a mental health clinician here in Juneau. And he asked me to help him fill out some paperwork for food stamps. And as he was filling out this paperwork, I was thinking about what a great kid he is. He graduated high school, and he got a full-time job, minimum wage, but he's working really hard. And his girlfriend also has a job, and they rented an apartment in Juneau. And I was really starting to get frustrated as he filled out this paperwork, because I was realizing that the system that we have set up for people who need help like that is really, really antiquated. And so when I looked up the thesaurus for outdated, that's one of the words that came up. And I was feeling really frustrated, because this is a kid who's working really hard. They're paying their bills. They're putting a little gas money in the car. And maybe they're getting some bus tokens. And at the end of that, they don't really have enough to feed themselves. And so he has to go on food stamps. And I was so frustrated with this almost 50-year-old system that we have, this formula that determines what the poverty level is. And it adjusts a little bit for inflation, but it doesn't count for all the ways that our lives have changed in the last 50 years. And I started to get upset that the harder you work and the more money you earn, the less eligible you are. And I just wish that system would change. And then I thought to myself, Rachel Brown, you social worker, soapbox downer, don't do it. So instead, I'm going to tell a little story about my very first experience with feeling outdated myself. And it actually works brilliantly with so many of these stories. It's going to go with the 90s theme really well. So I have two fantastic parents that are my friends and allies. And I've learned most of the important things in my life from them, including a sense of community and traveling and good food and social justice and being committed to things and having a darn good time. And with all those things, one thing that they didn't really tell me anything about was like how to fit in or be cool. And luckily for me, I'm not afraid of attention, and I'm kind of just a go-for-it, trial-by-error kind of person. So I just decide afterwards like what I might not do the next time. So I'm about to start 7th grade, and we've been traveling around for a long time, living in a bunch of different places. Some intentional communities where I was being homeschooled with a group of kids who might be named like Micah Schist. Yeah, that's a rock or a name. And I was really ready to move away from like tabbouleh and having my snack be carob chips. And I wanted to like join a sport and have a group of friends all my own age in school. And so my parents were a little resistant, but eventually they agreed to let me sign up for a 7th grade classroom when we moved back to the Midwest to be closer to our family. And so I woke up the morning of 7th grade, and I got myself all dressed, and I made my own lunch, because that's what independent hippie children do. And got myself all ready to go, and my dad, my dear dad, dropped me off at the front of the school. in our brown Volkswagen Vanagon topper with a topper on it that we could sleep in. And we'd actually just spent the 2 weeks prior to me starting seventh grade driving all the way to Washington, D.C. for a peace rally. Yeah. And so I missed orientation, and I was going into seventh grade cold turkey. I had no idea what to expect, but I didn't care. I was ready and excited, and I was going to make all these friends, and it was going to be really fun, and I was going to join soccer, tomorrow, and everything was going to work out really well. And so my dad dropped me off, and I waved, and I go walking up the stairs, and I open the door, and it's exactly how I imagined it. There are, kids running everywhere and paper being thrown, and there's a big banner welcoming me, and I'm like, thank you, I know I'm here. There are more than four people here, and they're not, 2 and 9 and 16 and all learning Montessori style, and so I'm really thrilled, and so I walk in, and all this stuff is going on around me, and I just think this is going to be, the best day of my life. And as I'm looking around, I focus on this group of girls who's standing at the top of the stairs next to this row of lockers, at which point I realize I'm going to get one of those. Yes! Not a cubby anymore. And I focus on this group of girls, and at first I'm watching them, and I'm, trying to imagine what they're talking about and giggling about, and then I think about whether or not, they're just meeting each other, and they're all brand new, and they made friends that fast, they just walked in the door, so I'm totally set. This is going to be awesome. And I'm wondering what they're giggling about, and then I look a little bit closer, and the girl who's talking, I can't focus on her mouth anymore because I'm fixated on her head. And it's because she has these bangs that I have never seen before in my entire life. And she's taken the hat top half and she's curled it up. And then she's taken the bottom half and curled it down. And then ratted it all together. And it's this awesome helmet of bangs that I have never seen before in my life. I have my two black braids that go all the way down to my butt. And they have little rainbow tassels on the end, my favorite. And I'm like, okay, well, that can't be that big of a deal. It's just hair. And then I see the girl standing next to her to the right, and she has on a jean jacket. And I've seen jean jackets before, but this jean jacket looks like someone dumped it in some bleach. And then I later learned that that's stone wash or acid wash, and that's really popular. And I think, okay, well, no big deal. Not everybody has a bleached, ruined, that can't be that popular. And then the girl standing next to her, she is wearing the most amazing pants that I've ever seen, and they're jeans, and at the bottom they kind of taper. And then I see that it looks like she's done it on purpose, she has these safety pins, and she's pinned them all to her ankle, and I realize that this is potentially something that gets you style points the first day of seventh grade. And then I look at her feet, and then all I want in the world are her shoes, because she has these sandal-like shoes on, and they're kind of plasticky, and I think they might be sort of sparkly also. And they're jelly shoes, yeah, which were really big for a while. Loved them. And so then my focus again shifts, not from onto the girls anymore, but I all of a sudden have this stark realization of what I've chosen to wear my first day of seventh grade. And I thought long and hard about it, and these were my very favorite clothes. So I'm just going to paint the picture of what I chose to wear. So I have on my favorite brown corduroy bell-bottom pants with a really big patch right on the backside that's shaped like a four-leaf clover with floral print fabric in it. And I have on my very favorite hand-me-down crushed red velvet bell-sleeved, ruffled, a little bit like a pirate shirt top that I've been waiting to wear in front of a crowd of my peers for years now, for years. And then I have on my kangaroo shoes, which he actually made still at that point. They were my last pair of roo shoes, and they had the little zipper on side, and you could stick in the pocket a little bit of money, or maybe the name and phone number of your very best new friend that you met the very first day of seventh grade. Yeah, no. And I do remember exactly what I thought to myself at that moment, and it was, I'm totally screwed. And actually, it was true for the next couple of days. It was a tough environment. I had some of the most difficult human interactions I've ever had in my life, which is saying something for a social worker. But it was really challenging, including coming up with an answer to the question that would be logical for all these other 12 and 13-year-old girls in central Minnesota in 1991. What were you thinking when you wore that outfit to the first day of seventh grade? And then I had this great conversation as soon as I got home. and talk to my parents. I was like, Mom and Dad, I'd like you guys to sit down. I have something to talk to you about. And they're worried, and they don't know what I'm going to say. And we love to reminisce about this story and laugh pretty hard about it. But I sat them down, and I was like, listen, I'm all about your hippie, let me do my own thing, explore the world the way that I want to do. But you can never, ever let me walk into a situation like that again. Like, how could you possibly let me go into the first day of seventh grade looking so painfully and utterly outdated?